Well, let's as we open this lesson, as we do, let's go to John chapter 3 and verse. As we do, let's go to John 3:16, and let's read that together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the begotten Son of God. You know, it makes me think of this particular scripture since we're in John. Why don't you go over to chapter 11 in John? And it's talking about, just reading this particular scripture here in John 3:16, he that believeth, he that what believeth, I like that, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not. And when you look in John 11, and this is for me is a very important scripture. What did it say? Jesus said unto Martha, said not I unto thee that if thou would believe, thou should see the glory of God. And this is in line with tonight's lesson. The J.B. Phillips, I like this particular translation. It says, did I not tell you, replied Jesus, that if you would believe, you would see the wonder of what God can do. I like that. If you would just believe, you would see the wonder of what God can do. Boy, that applies in every area of our life. If we would just believe, we would see the wonder of what God can do. This is in the J.B. Phillips. You can look that up in BibleGateway.com and you can see that for yourself. And the Amplified says, Jesus said to her, did I not tell you and promise you that if you would believe and rely on me, you would see the glory of God? So when we believe and rely, that's having faith in God, isn't it? We believe him, that's having faith and trust in God. We would see the wonder of what God can do. I tell you, that's enough to rejoice right there, isn't it? So what I wanted to do is let me jump over here just for a moment, just to sort of go back and look at a few scriptures. Let's go, we've been looking at Mark 11, 22. And 23 and 24. I want to add 24 this evening. But Mark 11, 22. And it says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And one of the things that the Lord keeps prompting me, keeps nudging me, is watching what I say. I'll say this, and I've gone back and listened to, time permitting, I've gone back and listened to a few of the prophetic utterances that were given to myself and Pastor Greg at School of the Spirit through Bishop Esau Watson. And, you know, he said some things, but there was one thing that I had to sit down and say, ooh, okay. He said, be careful, and it says, I'm paraphrasing, he said, watch what you say. He said, what you curse, he said this to both of us. He said, what you curse will be cursed, and what you bless will be blessed. And I said, ooh, Okay. So, and that doesn't, and I believe that doesn't just apply to me or Pastor Greg, that applies to all of us. Because the scripture is very clear about what Jesus has spoken. That what you bless will be blessed and what you curse will be cursed. You can just look at Proverbs 18 and look at that. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. So what we bless will be blessed, what we curse will be cursed. So in the area of our emotions and attitudes, we need to watch. And that's what ends up happening, is the devil will get us in the soulish realm and get us frustrated and get us thinking that God doesn't care, God's not working, he's not considering my situation, and he gets us over into our soulish realm, which can affect our attitude, and then we can begin to say some things. And I would say this, that just because you say something one time doesn't necessarily put the ball in motion. Just because you say, that don't work, that doesn't necessarily mean it will not work just because you said it one time. It's the consistent saying of something, and then you shift over into believing. That's when it begins to work. That's when it begins to work negatively. And it's no different on the spiritual, and when I say on the positive side, that just because you say it one time, meaning my bank accounts are full, my body is healed, doesn't mean just because you said it the first time that things start moving in that direction. It's faith. And faith comes by hearing. And I can tell you, faith will come a whole lot easier by hearing you say it. Faith not only comes by you reading the Word of God, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God, but faith will come by you hearing yourself say it. So the more you say it, faith comes. Man, that's when things start to change. It starts to shift the direction of things and turn it around. So, especially when God has promised something, and I was mentioning after Hour of Power prayer this morning, I was saying to Pastor Sarah, and I've shared this with Pastor Greg, one of the things that the Holy Ghost keeps bringing up in my spirit over the last few months is it's becoming tangible to me and real. And the best way I can say that is that the Holy Ghost is making it tangible and real on the inside of me. That Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. But that word, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And we say, oh, praise God, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. But it's the blood. And because of the blood that hath redeemed me. It's the blood of Jesus. And that shed blood is what allowed me to be free from the curse of the law. So when the devil tells you such and such, you say the blood of Jesus hath redeemed me. It's the blood of Jesus that hath redeemed me. And I can tell you, I've had a little experience in the natural when I had a family member, who now is a family member, get up in my face and beat his chest and tell me the devil lives in here. Right here. And that quick, it felt like, I'm telling you, it just felt like a coat. And up out of here said, the blood of Jesus. I didn't say it nasty or rude or anything. It just come up like a sword. I said, the blood of Jesus protects me. and I'm not afraid of any demons or devils. Just calm. And he went, I'm telling you, the blood, the sacrificial shed blood of Jesus is what I'm in covenant with God through, and that has freed me from the power of the devil. He has no right over me. He has no right over my spirit. He has no right over my stuff. And it's the blood. Man, I'll tell you, it's become so real to me when it comes. I said, no. The blood of Jesus be against you. Get. See? So, when we believe God and believe in the shed blood of Jesus, that's what, to me, I tell you, that just, that dude is, he done. He has no place in my life. He has no right to that which God has promised me. He gave me that. He gave me his life. He gave me his health. He gave me everything through and because of the shed blood of Jesus. And you jack him right up and tell him to get on out. He has no right over you. He has no right over your body and your mind. He has no right over your family, your husband, your children. He has no right over the things that God has given you. But, on the other hand, if you don't believe, see, that's where I'm going here with this. If you don't believe that, or you're not sure about that, then this says here, if you doubt in your heart, see, and you begin to talk about the obstacle and the situation, then what you do, it's just like what Dr. Hutton said. God has given us his peace. And he has broken, the devil has no power over you. And he has no right over you unless you give it to him. And so, if you are one that wants to talk about that situation in your life, then you give him the right and access. I guess that's another way of putting it. You give him access into your life, into your space, into your head, and so forth. So, you know, I guess another way to put it is we may not have had control over some of the conditions in our life, where we maybe have grown up, what family and things and situations we may have been born into. We may not have had control. You know, some people say, why was I born into this? Why was I subjected to all the things we don't have control over? But the minute I became a child of God, the minute I was in covenant with God, I had now access to an inheritance that began to free me from these things that I got born into or subjected to. And now I'm free. And I can walk free of those things. But it does require our minds and our hearts to be changed, so that we can begin to do what? Embrace everything that's been promised. When we don't, we stay, you know, bound and restricted. And we perish because, what does it say? A lack of knowledge. So, where were we? Mark 11, 22 and 23. Let me read. I like this. This is the Douay-Rheims translation. It says, Amen, I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not stagger. See, stagger in your heart. Another way of saying doubt in your heart, but someone may stagger in their heart. And the Berkeley translation, this is another translation you can look at, it says, and entertains no inner doubt. See? So, when we have faith, and it says, doubt not, we entertain no, where is that? Inner doubt. You can have doubt in your head, but not in your heart. No inside doubt, no inner doubt. And the Weymouth translation says, has no doubt about something in his heart, but steadfastly believes that what he says will happen, it shall be granted him. And so we don't want to entertain inner doubt. Now let's turn over. I want to just hit this particular scripture again. Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith, I'm going to read from the King James. Now faith is the substance. I like that. You know, when you say substance, substance has some material, you know, in the natural. I say something has substance. You can touch it. You can feel it. And, you know, even in the Greek, if you look this word up, hypostasis, it says that which has actual existence. See, something has substance, it has actual existence. And I like this because when it says, now faith is the substance, something that has actual existence of things hoped for. So this is something that has actual existence, but it's what? Unseen. It's not something seen. So something that has actual existence, where is that in your heart? No inner doubt. It has actual, real substance. It has actual existence. Where? In my heart. I know I'm saved. You can't see it, but you know it. It's real to you. Just like something sitting in front of you is real. This desk is real. I know I'm saved. I know I'm healed. I know I'm prosperous, even though I don't see it. I may not see it in the natural, but I know it. And it's real on the inside. So that has an actual existence, a substance, a quality, and of course, in this case here, it says a confidence or a firm trust or assurance. And it's the evidence of things what? Not seen. What's the evidence? Your faith is. That faith is the evidence of something that you don't see. And, you know, these things may sound very basic, but I'll tell you, one of the things I'm finding is that when we all face obstacles, it's the basics that get us through it. It's the remembering of who we are in Christ and what we have. It's the reality of something in your heart that doesn't allow you to stagger. See, and that is what gets all of us into those situations where we're, I don't know, I'm not sure, where is that? It starts in the soulish realm, but if you meditate on long enough, you start to entertain it. And so it's those things that I'm convinced that it's the basic things in the scripture that get us over. And that basic is faith. And when we keep a strong hold on that, that's why I say it's important. Keep the switch of faith turned on. You get up in the morning, you're talking, you're saying. You're saying who you are in Christ. You're saying what you have in Christ. You continually profess who you are in Christ. So that when doubts or thoughts of doubts come, you say, I'm sorry, this is who I am. This is what I have. This is where I'm going. And I'm not backing up or giving up. But I'm taking some territory. And if we don't continually profess, then you don't keep that stirred up in your heart. You don't keep that before you. You're not meditating on it day and night. That's another way of saying it. But I'll read this from a few other translations. This says, this is the Complete Jewish Bible, trusting is being confident of what we hope for, convinced about things we do not see. See, so faith is always going to be moving in the direction. It's what we shared last. Faith is always moving towards the unseen, things that we can't see. We walk by faith and not by sight. I like, let me go over here for a second. I like this particular scripture in 2 Corinthians. I'm just going to read that. You don't have to turn there, but 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. No, I'm thinking of another scripture. Well, I'll get that. Let me go back to where I was. I don't want to get sidetracked. The NIV, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Berkeley says, but faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for. Boy, I tell you, isn't that good? Faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for, a conviction of unseen realities. What does that mean? What could be an unseen reality? My bank accounts are full. My body is healthy. My family functions normally. My children are all serving God. That could be an unseen reality in your life. Well, faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for. See? A conviction. So faith is convinced of what it doesn't see. And when you think about it, turn over for a second. I was thinking about this. Turn over to we're in Hebrews 11. Turn over to look at verse 7. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, so he hadn't seen it, moved with fear, or godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So in other words, he moved in a direction unseen. He didn't know what an ark was, but you can read in Genesis 6, and this is where I think I'd like to jump off. He just didn't move without some instructions. He didn't say, okay, let me go build an ark and build a boat. He got some instructions. He got a plan, didn't he? He got some godly direction as to what to build and how to build it, what the dimensions were. So he got a plan. And so you can see he just didn't jump off being convinced. He heard God, and God said, you know, it says here, he was warned of God of things not yet seen. God told him, hey, I'm going to flood the earth. I'll wipe everybody out. But you can read in Genesis 6, he also followed that up, didn't he, after he said that with, I want you to do this. Here's how big it's going to be. Here's what you're going to make it out of. He even told him what to make it out of. So similarly, when we move by faith, we need to have some plan and some direction from God. And the reason I say that is because it took me a while. I'll say it that way. Maybe I'm a little slower than you are. But, you know, some of us, we need help. You know what I mean? I need all the help I can get. But, you know, sometimes when it comes to your body, you know, some of us, we confess Scripture and we say, I believe that I receive healing in my body. And we continue down the same path and we just confess Scripture. I believe I'm healed. That's a wonderful thing. I believe I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. That's true. But how many of us, and this could be healing or it could be finances, how many of us, apart from confessing those Scriptures, how many of us get quiet and wait on God for direction in our life as to how to conduct ourselves with our bodies? I didn't. I just kept trucking along, doing the same thing that I'd always done, till I ran into an obstacle. And I ran into some health challenges, and stood for a year in pain, still confessing the Word of God. Every day. All the time. Constantly. And it wasn't until God mercifully spoke to me and said in July of 2000, said, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. And I'm in the shower. And I stopped and I said, really? This is July. And so it's still, you know, I may not be quick, but it still took me because I had set my feet and my heart that I was healed. It still took me another 2 weeks to go to the doctor. And you might think, you're crazy. Well, that's where I was. And I was set that I was healed. Didn't matter how I felt. And that's where some of us go sometimes, that I believe I'm healed. I don't need to see no doctor. I'm healed. And that's where I was. And God had to nudge me along, and I did. And of course, you know, I still believe this, and I've gotten more insight and understanding in this particular area, that our faith words will allow God to reveal to us a plan as to what you're supposed to do. And each person is different because each person has a different set of circumstances. So I can't tell you, well, this is what I did. I can, but that may not be the plan for you, because your plan is, your situation is different. Your circumstances are different. Everything's different. And the only person that can reveal to you exactly what you're supposed to do is the Holy Ghost. And you need to follow that plan to the T. And I've always found this, that when you follow His direction, you'll come out on top. Every single time. Every time. I recall recently we had a Pastor Judy was here ministering. I don't know, it was last year sometime. And just stopped and said, you know, there's somebody here that if you go to the doctor, it'll be good, it'll be well. You'll live. But if you don't, you won't. And this person came to us after the fact, went to the doctor, They had cancer in advanced stages. And they had an operation, and they're alive, doing well. See? But if they hadn't gone, they wouldn't have lived. See? And so sometimes God has to speak through someone to get our attention. But he's probably been nudging us all along. Hey, and probably a long time ago, where a lot of us lose weight, exercise, stop eating this, stop doing this, make some dietary changes, some health changes, and probably been telling us for years, but then we move past that, we get into some dis-ease, and then we still ain't listening, still not doing what we're supposed to be doing, and then God has to supernaturally speak through somebody, call you out, and, as they say, make it plain. But it shouldn't be that way. Shouldn't be that way. And we should get, as they say, get a plan. What does that mean? We should be listening to God as to what we're supposed to be doing. Now, if you're in a medical situation or a financial situation, I believe that God will turn all of those things around, but we got to get quiet and get his direction, get a plan from him as to what to do. Because if you just quote scripture and not listen to his direction, that's just part of it. That's just part of it, is the confessing of scripture. The other part is you got to get his direction, got to get a plan from God. And that's why I was saying that none of us, even where Noah was concerned, he just didn't move with fear. He got a plan from God. And his family wouldn't have been saved if he didn't follow that plan to a T. See? And the same with us. When you think about this, God has revealed, and he's been revealing supernaturally things for this ministry. He's been talking to Pastor Saron Clinton, and now he's continuing to reveal and unfold the direction for this ministry. And little by little, he's going to be unfolding a plan. See, right now, all he's told us is, I give you that. And he said, you're going to have that building over there. But he has, as of yet, he hasn't shown us the how. But he's going to. He's going to reveal the how. See, you don't need to know some things before you need to know them. But the same God that spoke through Pastor Price at the time, or Dr. Price, that said, you're not going to stay in this building, the same God that spoke to Brother Copeland at the beginning of this ministry that said, this place is too small, he's going to say the same thing. He's going to show us the how part. And that's what I mean. And I'm not saying we shouldn't. We profess and confess what God has said, which is we have that property, we have that building. But I also believe that as we profess, God is going to begin to reveal and unfold the how part. He's going to give us a plan how to do it. And that's no different whether he does it at this level in the ministry or he does it for you personally. You know, you've heard Pastor Carr share some things about your mind and changing your mind and proving God. It's the same thing when we come and we talk and profess about our husbands and wives and our children. That's a right thing to do. We profess and decree with confidence unseen realities. But God, along the way, as you confess that, is going to unveil and show you how to reach it. Not just confess it. See, that's the thing that sometimes we disconnect from, is that we're not yielding to the gentle nudges of the Holy Ghost. We're not yielding to things that he says, here, go over here. And we're thinking, I'm going over here. And you're not even just, you're not listening sometimes. And the reason I know that is because folks either, one, they're making the same mistakes, saying the same things, or the evidence would be in the successes, wouldn't they? And I think all of us, if we're honest, we say, you know, am I absolutely sure that was the Holy Ghost telling me? Or am I clear? Am I hearing him clearly? Because I can tell you for me, if you're like me, and I know all of us have the same number of 24 hours in a day, how many of us, and I include myself in this, I do, are we taking time out to be quiet so we can really hear him clearly? Because if we don't, then that's where we have the possibility of missing his direction. Because we're just moving. We're getting up. I gotta go. I'm eating and trying to do everything while I'm driving the car. You know, ladies putting the makeup on, talking to tank top, looking teeth. People are doing everything. Bum. You get out of work. You're home. It's like, whoop, we're doing something else. And it's like, huh, I gotta lay down and go to sleep. Or we find ourselves like me sometimes, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, staring at my computer. I fell asleep because I'm so tired. How many been there? Yep, we all of us, right? So it's finding that place where we hear him clearly and just saying, you know what? I'm not doing this. I'm going to find quiet time. Because if we don't, in these days that we live in, we're going to be just like everybody else. And we don't want to be that. We want to be absolutely clear. We heard God. I heard him. He said, go this direction. I don't see it. Doesn't make sense. Sounds crazy. But I heard him. And I know. And I think for me, that's the area that, and I know like all of us, our time is stretched. And one of the things that I, you know, ministered to me was Bishop Watson saying, we need to, during this time that we have in October, to lay before the Lord and get his direction as to what to do concerning the areas of this ministry, the community. What does that mean? Get his plan, get his mind, get his heart. And then you move in faith because you've heard him. You got direction. And that's where we are ministry-wise. But the same thing, we all can move to another place in success with God, but it's going to require some time and some sacrifice of our time to hear him. And just be quiet. Shut the TV off, shut the computer off, shut the phone off, put it on whatever you need to, just turn it off. And anyways, where were we? Hebrews. Let me read these thoughts. Faith, the spirit of faith, affects every area of your life. And these are the thoughts, and now, of course, I was sharing these thoughts before. If you're in the middle of adversity, or right in the middle of it, faith will get you to your destination. Because faith will have a plan from God. God will get you there if you will maintain a spirit of faith. You're going to have to speak in faith to your mountains, and you're going to have to master, and I think Pastor Greg has been talking about this, you're going to have to master your attitudes. Because if you don't, your attitudes can sway you in certain directions about things. So we're going to have to master your attitudes. And I shared this before. You may not be able to control what has happened to you in life, but you're able to control your attitude. You may not be able to have had control over the circumstances and situations in your life. Some things you may be born into or born with, but you can have control over your attitude and how you think about it and how you talk about it and how you approach it. See, that we can have control over. Some things we don't have control over. Oops, I skipped the page here. Let's turn over just for a moment to Mark 11:24. I didn't read that before. Let's go to Mark 11:24. You know the scripture says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." I like this. These are some other translations. The Moffat translation says, "Believe you have got it, and you shall have it." Believe you've got it, and you shall have it. I like this. This is the Wiest translation. I like the way it says this. Be believing. I like that. Not just believe you have it, and you've got it, and you'll have it. But the Wiest translation says, be believing that you received them. That's a constant state of believing. Be believing that you have received them and they shall be yours. The Good News Bible says, believe that you have received it and you will be given whatever you ask for. Believe that you have received it and you will be given whatever you ask for. So, back what I was saying, and just in a thought here, is that getting God's plan, so when you move out in faith, you're moving in God's direction, His plan, and you're moving in faith. And I just put some thoughts here. Believers are jumping out without getting a plan or direction from God on how to possess their inheritance in Christ, which is a part of our redemption. So in other words, we need to get a plan how to receive those possessions. And, you know, just some of the thoughts that I had shared before is that if you wanted to take a trip, you wouldn't just go and get on a plane without first determining where you want to go, what time you want to get there, and what type of transportation you're going to take, whether you're going to drive, whether you're going to take a train, whether you're going to take a plane. You know, it sounds kind of simple, but it's the same to me as if I want to possess something that's been given to me. How do I go about doing that? Yes, I have the promises of God that promise that, but how do I do that? How do I go about possessing that? Yes, I make the profession of faith, but as I grow in faith, I am convinced that as we profess the Word of God, faith comes, it begins to move us in that direction of God's inheritance for us, but He begins to show you how to do it. And you move in that direction. And I think that's where God begins to show us, He begins to reveal and show us how to do certain things that he's called you to do. Whether it's start a business, own this, write a book. See, you begin to profess. You get up in the morning. Just say, I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, I'm bright, I'm witty, I have the wisdom of God. Everything I touch my hands to is blessed. Everywhere I go, I'm blessed. And you begin to just make simple professions of faith, and God will begin to direct you as to where to go. He may tell you, stay on this job, but you don't want to. See, but he's telling you to. He may tell you to quit the job. Well, I want to stay here. See, don't get in trouble with God. And I share that because a lot of times folks are struggling in this area when they say, well, I've been confessing the word of God and it doesn't seem like it's working for me. Well, then I have to ask the question, so your situation is bigger than God's word. Is that what you're telling me? Is that what you're telling me? Well, you don't know. Well, then that means whosoever shall say doesn't really mean what it says. See? And if Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, then to me, that means exactly what it says. And if God is going to direct you out of that, he may direct you in a path that's different from everybody else. But the results should lead you into the promise, which is the victory. You should be free from whatever it is that God has promised. You should be free from that. Is that not true? Some of you all looking at me like, I don't know. But sometimes, you know, I share these things only because people come up and ask questions. And they dribble out things that let you know that they're questioning some things. They're questioning things in their stand to obtain the promises of God. Well, if God said this, how come this isn't working for me? For me, if God gives me a plan and tells me something, then all I have to do at that point is do what? Stand. Be patient and wait. Why? Because God promised me. He showed me what to do. So at that point, if it takes a day, a week, a year, I'm going to get the victory. Period. Because he told me. He showed me, this is the path for you. This is the way you do it. Then that means all I have to do is wait. And I'm guaranteed success. See, then there's no place for wavering. There's no doubt because you knew you heard God. So when the thoughts of doubt come, you just say, get out of my space. Get out of my life. Get out of my thinking. I already got God's plan. And it don't matter how long I have to wait. I've got the victory. This is the way it's going. I mean, God has spoken to me some things. And so I can do what? Rest in that. And so there is no place for inner doubt if you know it was God. Isn't that true? No matter how long you have to wait. And that does not put you in a position of stopping your professions of faith. You continue. And as I said, I'm convinced that as we make our professions of faith, in general, let me put it to you that way. as we make our professions of faith in a general sense, because the Word of God doesn't address our situation specifically, does it? Does it? It just says we're healed, we're prosperous. So it doesn't address your specific situation. But as I profess the Word of God, which is addressing it generally, He will give you specific instructions as to how to achieve that which He's promised. Because what did He say? My word doesn't return to me void, but it will accomplish what I've sent it to do. So as I speak the word of God, God will begin to do what? Direct my steps as to how to achieve that. And that's really what I'm getting at tonight, is that God is going to give us a plan on how to do that. And if He hasn't given you a plan, then you just keep professing the Word of God until light comes, until that specific comes. But it will come. Because otherwise, He's a liar. And see, for me, to just wander around without a specific direction, how am I ever going to achieve my destination? Isn't that not true? You could be way over here in California, but you need to get to New York. And you say, well, bless God, you make a profession. But He's going to direct you on how to get to New York. He's going to show you how to get there. Because otherwise, you're just going to be wandering around all over the place. And so for us, keep making the professions of faith, and He will give you the plan and the direction on how to achieve and reach that destination of divine health, prosperity, success. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank You for this word this evening. Thank You for Your direction. Thank You for Your words of reminding us that You love us, that You care for us, that You give us direction in our life. We thank You for it. We believe that we receive direction in every area of our life, and that You speak clearly. I ask that You reveal and speak clearly to every person in here so they know that they know it's You speaking. And I believe, Father, that all good, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I thank You that You direct every person's step here to good. And all things work for good for them that love You. And I thank You, Father, that You're directing our steps to success and good in this life, so we can be an example, a light set upon a hill in this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.